Today on Pearls of Great Price, author Veronica Hughes reads passages from the lives and teachings of the saints. She shares her thoughts on each passage's wisdom.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, O Lord, thou shalt open my lips, and my mouth shall declare thy praise. Welcome. This is Veronica Hughes to Pearls of Great Price. Christ has ascended from earth to heaven. We say that at the monastery that I attend, and it's a tradition. We also have a verse that we will say for after Pentecost, and I'll share that with you next episode, and a response. Okay, so Christ has ascended from earth to heaven, and hopefully in our listening today, our soul will make a little bit of an ascent from earth to heaven as well. I often choose the quotes and subjects for my podcast based on what I want to learn more deeply about myself while preparing the way for a deeper understanding for our regeneration and grace. So today I'm going to start one of several podcasts. I'm not sure how many actually I'm going to do, but it's going to be on a complex virtue, which is faith. Even though most saints would say that faith is a very simple experience, I have found it very difficult to acquire and have faith at times. And I've struggled with having faith versus understanding faith, which is not understandable by the mind, but by our heart. And so it's very difficult, especially when you first begin as a catechumen and a newly illumined Orthodox Christian sometimes to begin the process of trying to understand what faith is, even though we took a great leap of faith when we became Orthodox or when we returned to the church if we were cradle-born and we were away for a while. It takes a leap of faith to return. So when I was researching this subject, I discovered that faith is very closely linked with the fear of God, just as obedience and humility are like one with each other, and you can't have one without the other. Apparently, you can't have faith without having an experience of the fear of God. And of course, having the fear of God has been a big challenge for me as well. So I thought, well, great, these are two subjects that are very challenging for me, and hopefully out of the discussion that I will be bringing forth today, we'll begin to understand both a little better. So my resources for this podcast today are the Bible Dictionary, the Bible, the Ascetical Homilies of St. Isaac the Syrian, Abbot Orthaeus' Discourses and Sayings, and quotes from Remember Thy First Love by Archimandrite Zacharias. All right, so let's start with what the biblical concept of faith is versus the contemporary definition of faith. So our contemporary definition of faith is that it is about being faithful. It comes from the Latin fides, and in a worldly sense, faith denotes trust and dependability in something or someone. The biblical concept, however, was really different, and I found this very interesting. Throughout the scriptures, faith is the human response to God's self-revelation. So I'll say that again. Faith is the human response to God's self-revelation. So when God reveals himself, people fall down in fear. They're humbled. Sometimes, and most of the time, they're trembling. And from such a revelation, there seems to be a dynamic deepening of faith and a change bringing forth actions in obedience to God. So let's think about that. So who do we know in a biblical context that had God reveal himself to to that person. And one would be St. Paul on the road to Damascus, which would be kind of appropriate with the season we're in, since we've been reading the Acts of the Apostles. And we know that when St. Paul was on the road to Damascus, he was enveloped in light and was so stunned he fell off his horse onto the ground, and all the soldiers that were with him, or all the other, I'm not sure if they were soldiers or Jews at this point, I can't remember, but they all were on the ground. And when they heard a voice from heaven, many of them were trembling. And as we know, this was the biggest turning point in St. Paul's life, and he became an incredible apostle after this revelation of God to him. And then we have the light of Christ's divinity that shone on Mount Tabor to three of his disciples, and they also fell to the ground trembling in fear. And I too have had experiences. I had an experience of the resurrection, which I shared in my book, and that brought me to fear and trembling as well. So the Old Testament authors use the fear of God to underscore the importance of submission to God through what he has revealed objectively. And this submission occurs subjectively in the minds, wills, hearts, and emotions of those who trust God's word. And since the fall of humanity, God nurtures and inspires faith in him through what he says and does for the benefit of people who need him and fear him. Now, all of this that I'm reading to you is coming from the Bible Dictionary. I found it incredibly helpful. So, as we know, Christ came to save sinners and people who need him, not people who don't need him, and people who fear him. So let's look at what a healthy fear of God means, because it's kind of confusing. So here's our first quote from St. Isaac the Syrian, homily number one. The fear of God is the beginning of virtue. It is sown in the heart when a man withdraws his mind from the attractions of the world to collect its thoughts, wandering from distraction into reflection upon the restitution to come. And another quote from Archimandrite Zacharias. Indeed, it is the fear of God that helps our heart emerge. As soon as this godly fear takes hold of our heart and we begin to feel God's life-giving energy, we enter into a personal relationship with the personal God, with the God who has revealed himself, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This relationship is an event which transcends all human understanding. So both of these quotes are saying that the fear of God, as we know from Psalms, is the beginning of wisdom, and also apparently the beginning of faith. So the Bible Dictionary said that thus the biblical definition of faith is that it is a kind of limited personal knowledge of God based on his revelation to us, and this can come in many different ways. So let's take a look at what are the elements of a healthy fear of God, which allows us to start to develop a deeper relationship of faith with our God. Most saints, first of all, would agree that there are stages in the development of the fear of the Lord, and that the first stage is initiated by fear of eternal damnation or punishment. It's our wake-up call, and both my husband and I began our return to the church with such a wake-up call. We were both Catholics and had strayed away from the church, and again, in my book, there's a lot. You'll know more about me if you read my book than I know about any of you out there. And but we both went through quite a process to come back to Christ. And my husband hit rock bottom and realized that he was nothing without God. And I realized that I was being afflicted. I was a spiritist and into channeling and metaphysics and Eastern religions, and basically was creating my own religion. And when I hit my rock bottom, I tested it by, you know, my husband told me that I was being attacked by demons, and I thought, no, that can't be true. And he said, well, yes, it can. And, you know, you think you're something special because you're a channel and blah, 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 but, you know, you're being attacked demonically. And so I said, well, okay, let me see. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, be gone. And I literally saw a devil run off. And that was the beginning of my fear of God. I picked up a prayer book and I haven't put it down since, as many of you have heard me say before. So it was the beginning of wisdom for me. Let's hear what Abba Dorotheus has to say about the stages of learning about the fear of God. There are two kinds of fear, one preliminary and the other perfect. The one found in beginners, as some called it, of the devout, and the other in those perfect in holiness of those having arrived at true love. One forms a desire of God through the fear of condemnation. Now, I found that very interesting because that was true for both my husband and I. One forms a desire of God through the fear of condemnation. And that's because desire is a movement of the will towards something. And we can desire things of our passions, but we can also, with the fear of God, begin to have this desire to be protected by God, to be saved by God. And that is the beginning stage of our regeneration in grace. It's where we begin to turn our will with the desire to seek protection and comfort and aid from someone besides ourselves. All right, on with Abba Dorotheus again. Another forms a desire for God because he loves God himself. So this is the second aspect of our fear of the Lord. So another forms the desire of God because he loves God himself. He loves him and he knows what is acceptable to God. Such a man is goodness itself, knowing what it is to be with God. See, this is a man who has true love, which St. John calls perfect love, and that love leads a man unto perfect fear. Such a man fears and keeps to God's will, not for fear of punishment, not to avoid condemnation, but as we have said, because he has tasted the sweetness of being with God, and he fears he may fall away from it. He fears to be turned away from God. This is perfect fear, which is generated from perfect love and throws out that preliminary fear. That is why St. John says that perfect love casts out fear. But it is impossible to come to perfect fear except through that preliminary fear. So we all have to go through our fear of damnation, our fear of loss of our salvation, our fear of the devil in my case, and realizing that I was under attack and that I couldn't, the tools that I had had from the New Age and from my Eastern religions were not helping me to combat the devil. So let's hear what St. Basil has to say about stages. Now, he says there are three, and I found these very edifying as well. The first, that of being fearful of punishment, makes us acceptable, and we are in a state of being slaves, basically. So we're pretty much, you know, like when in the if you think about how a slave responds to his master and he's fearful he'll be whipped. Well, I hate to say this, but it's true that many of us would not make any changes at all if we didn't fear some loss of something. And so, in a sense, we are slaves cowering at the fear that something will happen to us. But we're mostly slaves of our passions, not slaves of God, but we're fears to, you know, we're slaves to our passions, which have taken us away from God. So back to St. Basil again. The second is the state of being servants working for wages, fulfilling the orders for our own advantage, and by doing so, earning our wages. So that's a step up, and we can see that we're doing things to please our master. And we're working for our wages, which in a sense would be the heavenly kingdom. And the third is a state of being sons, where we strive for the highest good. For a son, when he comes to maturity, does his father's will, not for fear of being beaten, nor to receive a reward from him, but because he knows he is loved. He loves and honors his father, and is convinced that all his father possesses is his own. Such a man is worthy to hear, "You are no longer a slave, but a son, an heir of God through Christ." Isn't that amazing? So you can see the progression where we're slaves of our passions, and then we do things to please, and then we do things for love, which again is the beginning and end of everything. And love is the greatest virtue. All right, so let's look at more steps in acquiring a healthy fear of God. So someone who fears God dreads disappointing him. And this would be more in the second category of St. Basil's, where we're into pleasing the Lord. And I myself feel I'm, you know, in the second stage and just beginning to understand the third stage, because, you know, I do dread disappointing God. I dread being separated from him. I and his grace and his love, for when that happens, as we all know, we feel awful. And so this next step from a fear of punishment and damnation is one that helps us to learn to love him, because we don't want to disappoint him. Fear of losing God's love and grace becomes more of a motivation for me than punishment. Because the loss of the grace in and of itself is a punishment to me, even though it's a self-induced punishment because I've stepped away from God. But, you know, it becomes more and more that I don't want to disappoint God. I don't want to be torn away from him. I want to stay close to him. To fear God is to believe him with a reverential awe, even to the point of emotional trepidation. So I've had an experience of this when I see how God has forgiven me for my past. And I'm sure many of us out there have had this experience when we had to do our life confession, or at times when we really see how God has preserved us in our life. And in particular, I have had this experience when I've missed being in a terrible accident by a matter of seconds. And I know it's the grace of God that, preserved me. All right, the next step in a healthy fear of God is to fear God is to know him personally. So once we begin to repent and humble ourselves before God and start to have the desire to be and act from obedience with love, our deeper regeneration and grace begins. And that's when we can begin to hear God in the stillness of our heart. Okay, so it's really important that we have the fear of God, because we learn to regard God with reverential fear, for he is our creator. And it puts us in a humble position, which allows for a personal relationship with God, because God is our creator and we are his creations. And the only way we can really enter into that relationship is through humility and to have a certain amount of fear, because we are coming before our creator. All right, the next step is that such a relationship empowers us to please him. To fear the Lord is used synonymously with to serve him in sincerity and truth. And this is from Joshua 24:14. The beginning of man's true life is the fear of God. But the fear of God will not be persuaded to dwell in a soul together with distraction over outer things. For by serving the senses, the heart is scattered, driven away from delight in God. That's from St. Isaac the Syrian again. So to serve God with sincerity and truth requires our ascetic labors to draw our senses away from the outward pleasures of the world and to bring them into, as they say, we have to start to contain our noose. We have to bring it in. So our noose is the spiritual eye of our soul. It's spelled N-O-U-S, like French, meaning the, which is coming from the word we, but in this case, noose means to is the eye of our soul, and we have to bring that down into our heart, bring our mind down into our heart, and in order to do that, we have to practice our asceticism and our prayers and start to try and focus our mind in our heart and bring our noose away from all the distractions of the world and into our heart so that it can dwell with God. And that desire to know God comes from the beginning of the fear of God. And this leads to deepening faith, because we can start to hear God in our heart. To please God from love versus our ego is the challenge. This is me talking now. No other quote right here. When we love God, our reverential fear of the Lord produces joy and fulfillment. And that's from Ecclesiastes 12:13. To fear him is to maintain a firm conviction that the Lord's directives are reliable. That's from Psalm 119:89-91. Even in the face of all our trials and tribulations, the key word in here is maintain a firm conviction that the Lord's directives are reliable. And that's what helps us to develop faith, because we have to learn how to have faith in the face of our trials and to not use what's going on with us to reinforce our fears and our passions, but rather to use it to reinforce our faith. And of course, it's through our sacramental life and our prayer life and basically living the Sermon on the Mount that we can enter into more of our reliability in believing and maintaining our conviction that the Lord's directives are reliable. And for those of you that might have missed my podcast on prayer during Holy Week, because we were all in church and in prayer, perhaps listening to it will be a support to those of you in your process about learning how to maintain a firm conviction that the Lord's directives are reliable. That's been a big struggle for me. All right, so now through Jeremiah, God predicted that he would make an everlasting covenant through which he would enable people to fear him forever. That's from Jeremiah 32:40. A covenant in which God will write his law on the hearts of his people and allow them all to know him personally. And that's from Jeremiah 31:33-34. And this is back to the Bible Dictionary. The consistent theme of salvation by faith and our fear in the Lord can be traced through God's acts and deeds in both the Old and New Testaments. So for those of us who know and read the Bible, we know that salvation by faith was something that the early fathers lived by before Christ came, and all the saints in the Old Testament, and that they had a fear of the Lord, especially when we look at Abraham or Moses, and they had a great faith in the Lord as well. So back to Saint Isaac the Syrian. Be wise then, and lay the fear of God as a foundation of your journey. And in but a few days, it will bring you before the gates of the kingdom, with no windings on the way. I'll read that again. That's exciting. Be wise then, and lay the fear of God as the foundation of your journey. And in but a few days, it will bring you before the gate of the kingdom, with no windings on the way. That's from St. Isaac the Syrian, homily number 1. All right, so this is our beginning in our exploration of faith, which was the fear of the Lord, and how the fear of the Lord brings us into a developing faith. And in our next podcast, we're going to be looking at different experiences of faith and faith versus worldly knowledge and degrees of faith. So it should be quite an exciting podcast. Just a reminder that you can find all these quotes that I have used today and some of my commentary in my blog, and there's a link on my podcast profile for this podcast, for my blog, for my author's website if you want to look into my book, and also if you'd like to learn more about my conversion. There's the very first interview I did with Father Chris on OCN as well that has a link in my podcast profile. So I wish you all a blessed ascension. How magnified are thy works, O Lord! In wisdom hast thou made them all. In wisdom hast thou made them all, including you and me. And have a wonderful Pentecost coming up.
You've been listening to Pearls of Great Price with Veronica Hughes. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.